Beloved, listen to this. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, as the sun was rising, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed, for you are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Make no mistake about it. Easter begins in fear. Make no mistake about it. Easter begins in those early morning hours when everything is too dark to clearly see. Make no mistake about it, it begins when our uncertainties and insecurities besiege us, and what we knew for sure only hours before now seems entirely unreliable, untrustworthy. Easter begins before daylight, when we are most vulnerable to the unsettling power of anxiety and the brute force of loneliness. The dream was not reality. The dark night has not ended. The children are not okay. The bills will never be paid. Normalcy will not return. The tests will not be clear. The future is not secure. The promise is not true. Death will have the final word. Easter begins in fear. 3 women rise before the sun. Silently, they get dressed and gather burial spices. They walk together, hushed tones of early morning, to the tomb where they had seen the body of Jesus laid just 2 nights ago. Now, of course, the task could have waited until later in the day. Dead bodies are in no rush to be anointed, after all. But these friends needed to be together in those uncertain early morning hours. They needed to be together just as a family gathers around the bedside at the moment of death. They needed the comfort of one another as a barricade against the relentless onslaught of grief. They couldn't sleep anyway, so why not be of some use? What their eyes strain to see in the dawning light leaves them utterly speechless. Stone rolled away, man dressed in a shining robe, and then there are those words, those words, "Not here, been raised ahead of you, go tell the others." And the women literally run out of the tomb, filled with fear. And that's where Easter begins. They said nothing to anyone. And the curtain closes on Mark's gospel. It's the first, the earliest account of the central story of our faith. And it ends not in trumpet blasts, but in fearful silence. It ends not with the vision of a crowded sanctuary, but an empty tomb. Now, as soon as the second century, editors would add to that awkward, unfortunate ending, as you will see in your Bibles, but that is not Mark. No, his abrupt ending is intentionally uncomfortable. And I think that's because Mark knew what we are all learning, that Easter begins in the dark, or it does not come at all. There have been moments when I've doubted the truth of those words I just spoke. Moments even this week when I've hesitated to include them, to speak them, to give voice to them. Moments when I've lamented the emptiness of this time. You see, Easter is sometimes called the Super Bowl Sunday of church. It's our biggest day. And who wants to play the Super Bowl in an abandoned stadium? You see, we preachers may proclaim the empty tomb, but we want to do it in a filled sanctuary. I know I do. I've heard it many times in recent days. I'm sure going to miss Easter this year. It's a shame we'll miss Easter. I'm really disappointed about missing Easter. And I can certainly relate to that sentiment. But the gospel is clear on this. The empty tomb is the only place where the Easter message is heard. The resurrection news is met with fear. Darkness is the backdrop of beginnings. Barbara Brown Taylor writes, "Whether it is a seed in the ground, a baby in the womb, or Jesus in the tomb, life starts in the dark." We don't like that. We can't do much in the darkness. Our human limitations are made painfully clear when the lights are out. But God is not held back by darkness. You see, we cannot miss Easter because the promise we proclaim today is not dependent on our ability. We do not go to Easter. Easter comes to us. And so I'm convinced that Mark left his gospel open-ended because he knew deep in his faithful soul that Easter does not end where his story stops. Remember what the white-robed messenger said to the women, "He is not here because he's gone ahead of you. If you go, you will see him. He is not here." Well, this year, neither are you. And perhaps that is good news. Maybe this year, the empty tomb and our empty sanctuary tell of a God who is with us, where we are, and ahead of us, where we go. Mark leaves that final command squarely in our court. Go. Tell the others. This year we can do this in new and transformative ways. My friends, the time is right for testimony. For in the midst of crippling fear and trying times, uncertainty and grief, we are called to the courageous task of proclamation. We are called to go and tell the others. How can we who experience the joy of new life and resurrection share that joy now? How can we share the amazing good news that Jesus has gone ahead of us? Well, not long ago, though it seems like the dream of another lifetime, I was with a group of my pastor friends in North Carolina. We were sharing insights and reflections on the vocation of preaching, when one of my colleagues raised the question of preaching on Easter, is it the easiest day of the year to preach or the most difficult? She acknowledged that there are some voices that say Easter needs no sermon at all. Just repeat the story. Just tell the good news. And then Jenny wrote, on the one hand, I like that. But more and more, I am convinced that it is not enough. Karl Barth famously said that what brings people to worship is one unspoken question that clings to our hearts and minds. Is it true? And isn't that the case for all of us, preachers included? In the face of mounting evidence to the contrary, please assure me that resurrection is true. Assure me that our hope is indeed built on something real. Promise me that the good news is more than a feel-good story. Tell me the ancient, beautiful story, but do not stop there. Tell me where you find truth within its words. Tell me why it matters to you. Tell me how and why you have hitched your life to it. Convince me it is true by telling me about the gospel that flows through your veins with every heartbeat, the one that is saving your life, even now, this Easter, please. The story I most need to hear is the one only you can tell. The promise of the angel that first Easter morning was this: you will see him. The command of the angel was to tell the others. So where have you seen him? Where have you seen this Jesus set loose in the world to bring light and life and hope and joy? Where have you seen the power of God overcome the power of death? Where have you watched the unbound Spirit of God move in mysterious ways? Where have you felt the presence of God in goosebumps, in unexpected tears, unforeseen circumstances, even in overwhelming sadness? Where have you seen him? Where has the risen Christ shown up in your lives? Which is the story that only you can tell this Easter? I'll go first. When I was a child, Easter always began in the dark. Easter began when my father tapped lightly on my bedroom door. It always seemed like it was the middle of the night. And he asked me in a whisper, "Do you still want to go?" Even though what had seemed like a wonderful idea only 6 hours ago now had very little appeal measured against the warmth of my bed, I would always somehow get up. After all, the sunrise service happened once a year, and I wouldn't spend the next 12 months regretting that I had missed it. When we arrived at the church, my father and I would begin silently moving metal folding chairs out onto the church lawn. The busy intersection of Vandalia and South Elm Eugene streets was always deserted as we began our silent work by the glow of stoplights changing from red to green and back again. Before long, one by one at first and then in a steady stream, members of the church began to arrive. Many were carrying blankets for those cold metal chairs. I will never forget how those faithful souls looked in the pre-dawn light, huddled together, speaking words of greeting. I'll never forget singing the words of the Easter hymns as the sun slowly crept over the tree line. I will certainly never forget the faithful flock of geese whose annual flyover delighted us all, honking their hallelujahs as we laughed with wonder. I'll always remember how that churchyard was slowly illuminated, finally casting light on the old wooden cross on the lawn, bare for 6 weeks, now covered with fresh-cut flowers from our homes and yards. The symbol of death, covered with signs of life, transformed as the sun rose before us. I will never regret the lost sleep or the early alarm. And to this day, I never wake on Easter morning without thinking of that sunrise service, that transformation as new day was dawning. Transformation. The ordinary becomes extraordinary. The empty tomb is teeming with life. The darkness is giving way to brilliant light. The risen Son of God has gone ahead of us to Galilee, that is, to the places where we live. If you don't want to miss Easter this year, the secret is to go back and go on. For the most consequential act of your discipleship will never be coming to church. The truth is, if you stay too long in the sanctuary, you will miss Easter, which is always already in front of you. The summons of Easter is to go back to Galilee and to see its ordinary for what it truly is. Illuminated by resurrection power, overflowing with possibility. If you don't want to miss Easter, return to your life with all its disappointments and frustrations and sorrows and tragedy and see what it is, what it truly is, a gift given by God, an opportunity to find meaning and purpose. The challenge of Easter is to accept the most startling truth we can know, that in Jesus Christ, we too have been resurrected and given a new chance. It happens where we are. And so today, Easter comes to you. Whether you are in your pajamas or your patent leather shoes, whether you gather with family or sit in front of a screen all alone, whether you are distracted by the cries of a baby or surrounded by too much silence, whether you are ready to greet this new day or still cling to the night. My brilliant teacher, Bill Brown, wrote a reflection this week in which he made a suggestion for church leaders. This year, he wrote, perhaps we should proudly display these words on our church marquee signs. He is not here. Easter begins in fear, but it ends with the courage to follow, the courage to face the worst this world can offer with a faith that defies simple reason. Jesus Christ is risen, and death's moment is over. What lies before us is a future filled with more life and light and hope than we can imagine. You see, He is not here. And that is good news, because He is already ahead of us. And if we keep looking, we will see Him. You will see Him in the kindness of strangers and the renewed love of old friends. You will see Him in words of gratitude and in acts of justice for all of God's beloved children. You will see Him in the new life that is even now springing forth in places once deadened by division and cut off by cruelty. If you don't want to miss Easter, then now is the time to walk faithfully into the new world that waits on the other side of this portal. Do not miss this resurrection moment when we can choose a different way of living in this world, a different way of loving one another. Beloved, let us not be content to return to normal if normal is less than God intends for us. Let us instead be transformed by the inextinguishable power of hope. Let us be remade by the awesome power of love. Let us welcome a new day, a new life, a new world. For Jesus Christ, our Lord, is risen. He has come to us. He goes ahead of us. Let us run to meet Him there. Alleluia. Amen.